And now, it's sports time. Featuring forecasts, plot synopsis, character studies, explanations, and interviews. Making sports accessible to everyone, from the diehard to the hardly interested. With your host, Ezra Fisher, it's the Dear Sports Fan Podcast.
Hello, sports fans and friends, family, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, cousins, and aunts of sports fans. For many people who love the NFL, this coming weekend is the best weekend of sports for the year. Like last weekend, there are four playoff games over 2 days. What makes it even better than last weekend is that the four teams with the best records in the league all rested last weekend, and now they host the winner of last weekend's playoff games. It's called the NFL Divisional Round of the Playoffs. To help prepare for the games, I invited my friend Brennan Gilfillan to join me in a series of podcasts. We'll go through each of the playoff games and talk through the most interesting characters, the basic plot of the game, who we want to win, and who we think is going to win. And just for fun, we'll share our favorite player names from each of the playoff teams. I hope you enjoy it.
And we're back. Let's hit the second game of the weekend, the Saturday night game between the Carolina Panthers at the Seattle Seahawks. It's at 8:15 p.m. on Fox. We'll start with some characters from the home team, the Seattle Seahawks. Brendan, do you want to start?
Yeah, I will take on someone that folks have probably heard of, although maybe not for the right reasons, and that is Richard Sherman. He's one of the best cornerbacks in the league. Again, a guy like Darrell Revis who specializes in preventing the ball from being thrown to any given wide receiver on any given play. Made a lot of headlines because he's brash and he kind of says whatever he wants and doesn't really seem to care what people think and doesn't really fit the traditional mold of the, kind of button-down corporate professional athlete. But he also, despite everything that he says, has managed to back it all up because he really has dominated just about every wide receiver he's come into contact with and has been pretty much, if not the best, one of the top two or three cornerbacks in the league for the past few years. So definitely, even if he's not doing anything, he's someone the announcers will reference and focus on just because he's fun and interesting.
Yeah, and Richard Sherman, he's frightening in a different way from who were we talking about on the Patriots a second ago? Darrell Revis. He's frightening in a different way from Darrell Revis because if you throw the ball towards Revis, you're just not going to get anything. But if you throw the ball towards Richard Sherman, he's often going to grab it and score on you. And it just seems like it would be a smart move for the Panthers to pretty much ignore whichever side of the field he's on. Yeah, the Seahawks are full of characters. A guy I'm really curious about is Marshawn Lynch. He's their starting running back, and he seems to not be so happy this year. He's literally a colorful character. When he scores, fans throw rainbow Skittles down on the field at him, and he really does eat them before every game. You can see him do it on television. So for some reason, he loves Skittles. Everyone knows it. He's got a great nickname. It's Beast Mode. And he is just a big, strong running back who maybe once every two or three games will pull off a run where he sort of bounces off almost all the defenders and just runs through them and they can't do anything about it. But this may be his last run with the Seahawks. He just seems to not... Well, the reports we get say he's not happy with the team, although most of the reports we get are from the team or from team sources. My guess is it has more to do with the fact that they'd have to pay him quite a bit to keep him next year than anything else. But he's an interesting guy.
And he's one of the kind of... One of the other things you'll hear, I'm sure, is that teams are less and less inclined to pay running backs a lot of money because they're so likely to get hurt. But he is one of the few who I think people would be willing to pay.
Yep.
He's so freakish. I guess the other one that bears mentioning is the quarterback for the Seahawks, Russell Wilson. He's young, but he's already won a Super Bowl. And he is not your traditional quarterback. He's a little bit on the short side. He's a little bit smaller. He runs around, but unlike other quarterbacks who run around and get injured because they're getting hit by guys much bigger than him, he somehow has always managed to avoid actually getting hit or taking that one hit that kind of knocks him out of the game or, you know, injures him in the long term like some of the other quarterbacks. So he clearly, for whatever reason, has figured it out and knows how to play the game in a way that protects his body, but still allows him to do some pretty freakish things. So he will, he doesn't necessarily throw for, you know, 300 or 400 yards, but he usually does what needs to be done for them to win.
Yeah, and in some ways, having a quarterback who can run for 80 yards is as good as having someone who's going to throw for 300 or 400.
Steady, and he doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah, he really doesn't seem to. It's sort of the quarterback on the other side of the field, Cam Newton, plays kind of the same way, but he doesn't have that gene that you were talking about that helps him avoid the big hit. He has the gene that just says, I'm big enough to take the big hit and keep playing. And we saw this last week. We talked about him recovering from a back injury in a car accident, as well as some other injuries. And last week, he did lead his team to a victory. But throughout parts of that game, you could just see him sort of grimacing in pain and limping around and looking like there was a point towards the end of the first half that I thought, you know, Arizona might have a chance if they can keep hitting him and get him, it's not very fair to say, but like hit him until he plays as badly as Arizona's quarterback was playing. And so I'm really curious to see what a week of rest has done for Cam Newton, whether that's enough for him to even be able to start this game playing at close to full strength. But for him to survive this game against the Seahawks defense, who is pretty fierce defense, will be interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, he would have been had to have been hit so that his right arm was detached from the play as badly as the Arizona quarterback did.
Right. Well, this is true.
It was a pretty obvious play.
So Cam Newton's definitely one character to watch out on the Panthers. Do you have any others?
I will go with the underappreciated, unsung Mike Tolbert on the Panthers. And his name probably won't come up a ton, but when it will be because he doesn't usually do very many sexy things. He just blocks people. His job is literally to go to run right in front of the running back and throw himself at whatever defender appears in his way. And these guys are almost extinct in the NFL. He's one of the last ones. But he's just so good at it, and their style is such that they play kind of a physical running game that requires someone like him who just goes and beats up on linemen or linebackers or safeties. And he gets very little glory, very few touches, very few touchdowns, but he basically just goes out there and sacrifices himself every play. So he'll get maybe like one or two shout-outs a game for doing that.
Yeah, and the guy he's blocking for primarily now is a guy named Jonathan Stewart, who's a running back. And I find him to be a very compelling character. He's really been criticized a lot during his career. He is often injured. I don't think he's had a single season where he's played all of the games. I could be wrong about that. But he has the reputation of someone who is just too fragile to play football. And I think a lot of that comes from fantasy football, where people get attracted by his talent and select him to be on their imaginary football teams. And then when he's injured, they get very upset at him. But for the last four or five games this season, he's really been great. And he's been worth every cent of the very large salary that the Panthers have been paying him for the last few years. And I think that's the other reason why he's gets a lot of criticism, which I never think is fair. It's if someone offers you a lot of money to do something, you're going to take it, right? It's not a reflection on you that someone offered you that money. But he has been playing really, really well. And I think if the Panthers have a chance of winning this game, it's going to be because Jonathan Stewart has another great game.
Yeah.
So, plot of this game, I would say that, you know, by all reasonable accounts, this should be the end of the Carolina Panthers season. And that's kind of the plot. They snuck into the playoffs with a losing record because they won their division where no one had a winning record. And then they really lucked out and they got to host the Arizona Cardinals that had, you know, I don't want to kick him while he's down, but had one of the worst playoff quarterbacks of all time. But now they really have a test. They're going to Seattle. They're meeting, you know, arrested Seahawks who won the Super Bowl last year and don't really seem to have lost a step this year. And then the straw that broke the camel's back, or the last nail in the coffin, or whatever you want to say, is that they're probably their best defensive lineman, Star Lutulule, broke his foot in practice this week, and he's out for the game. So to me, it just seems like this sort of hopeless, hopeless mess for the Panthers.
Yeah, this is like strictly a taking care of business game for the Seahawks. The other thing, the other part of it, you'll hear them talk about they're playing in Seattle, and Seattle has one of the best home field advantages in the league, or the best home field advantage in the league, which basically just means that they built a stadium that makes it really, really loud.
Yeah.
And their fans know how to take advantage of that. So that's when this thing turns into a blowout, which it will, that's what you're going to hear them talking about.
Best name on the Seattle Seahawks?
Hold on one second. Yes. A good friend, J.R. Sweezy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, Sweezy is just a phenomenal last name.
Yeah, it's, if you have like a last name that sounds like a nickname, you're doing pretty well.
Exactly. Perfect. Perfect.
I'm going to go with Cam Chancellor. He's a safety on the Seahawks. He hits really hard, and his name is Cam Chancellor. And I don't know. There's so much to like about it. You've got a three-letter first name, and I don't want to count them here, but a much longer last name, so short, long. You've got K and then CH, which are sort of variants of the same sound. And Chancellor is a word. Like, it's a, I don't really know. Chancellor is a position in schools, I think, or in governments.
Yeah, or in galactic empires. Like, it's definitely a position of authority.
That's right. So he is an alien, is what you're saying?
Well, it's kind of species neutral, I think, but it is a great name.
All right, and what do we have on the Panthers?
I'm going to go with noted literary critic and social theorist David Foucault. Or at least they share the last name. But the number of NFL players who share last names with philosophers and prominent French literary critics is, I think, pretty low. So I'm going to go with David Foucault, although the close runner-up was Philly Brown, because that is just a phenomenal name.
Yeah. Plus you're a Philly sports fan.
And I'm a Philly sports fan. If he played his goals, he would be my pick every week.
My choice on the Panthers is a guy named Kawan Short, and he is 6'3", and he's a defensive tackle, and I think that says everything we need to say.
Yeah.
So the line on this game is Seattle by 10.5 or 11. So not so much hope for the Panthers. The sports books are basically just they're tempting you. Please take the Panthers. And I don't know how many people are going to do it. Who do you want to win, and who do you think is going to win?
I would like the Seahawks to win. Although I don't feel particularly strongly. I don't have any hatred for the Panthers. I just like the Seahawks, and I'd like to see them possibly pull off a two-peat. And I think they have the best chance of beating the Cowboys, which is my most important factor. And I think they're going to, I think they will do it, you know, by at least two touchdowns, I would say. I don't see this being close.
Yeah, so for some reason, a few years ago, I just developed a completely arbitrary hatred for the Seattle Seahawks. Sports hatred, of course. I don't really hate them. But I definitely want the Panthers to win, and I think they have no chance. I agree with you. I think the Seahawks are going to find this to be a pretty easy warm-up to the rest of the playoffs. All right, well, thanks for doing that. We'll hang up and move on to the next one.
Thanks for listening to the Dear Sports Fan podcast. You can find more podcasts and tons of writing at dearsportsfan.com. If you like what you see and hear there, please subscribe. Thanks to Jesse Fisher for the theme music. He's at jessefisher.com. Have a great day.